WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, you're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. For the next 15 minutes, we're going to be talking about spring football and do a little recap of the basketball season coming off of the first-round loss in the NCAA tournament. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today is Mike Brammer. Bram, let's get right into it. We're going to recap the basketball season a little bit. Give me your thoughts on what most people would consider a really great year for Mike Bray and his crew, even though it ended badly. Does the first-round loss diminish what this team accomplished in your mind?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, you can't argue that the NCAA tournament, anything goes. I mean, it's disappointing just because almost everybody that should have won in those first couple rounds.
Except us.
Right. But I would also argue that we had the toughest road. I mean, Winthrop was...
Yeah, no question about that.
I mean, we've already talked about this, but man, you can't accept an 11 seed any tougher than Winthrop. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. So, and they played well. I mean, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, Notre Dame laid another egg. No, we didn't. We were right in that game with 2 minutes to go. And in fact, had we gotten a couple calls our way, we end up winning that game. And then who knows what happens after that. But, no, I for the way that we played the entire year, the way we fought back, that was indicative of what we've done all year long. So, for Notre Dame fans, that was no different than what we've seen.
Well, certainly the comeback makes you feel good about the effort. You know, yeah, we went out and we kind of laid an egg in terms of the results. But just to battle like we did, I think that demonstrated a lot about the character. You know, you can't be satisfied with losing. It's disappointing, and it kind of leaves you with a sour taste. But, man, I think there's a big silver lining, you know, on this season, on this program. And that loss, in my mind, doesn't diminish from where the program is. So in terms of, hey, let's give an evaluation, is the program in good shape, going in the right direction? I say yes.
Yeah, well, I got a few reservations. I'm a little nervous about the interviews that are going on right now. I mean, a lot of people think that a big reason we were successful is Bray did a nice job of shoring up his staff in the off season.
And I think we dodged a bullet with Gene Cross not getting the Northern Illinois job. His name was floated around with that job. And the question is, coming out of the Final Four, all the coaches get down there for their annual meeting, is Gene Cross going to be snatched up by somebody else?
Exactly. That's my fear, because it's obvious this guy's a talent. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully he sees some more opportunities here at Notre Dame and he ends up staying, because if that's the case, then we've got all the pieces and parts together for next season.
Not diminish also the job Mike Bray did. Kudos to Mike Bray for bringing in a good, active recruiter and a high-energy, disciplined guy onto the staff. But Mike Bray is still the guy that's pushing the buttons and calling the shots, and he did a heck of a job this year. And his name now is being floated out there for, most prominently, the Kentucky job. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with that at all. I think it's just typical of show me what you've done lately. I mean, first off, I don't think Bray would be a good fit in the Kentucky position for a bunch of reasons. One, I don't think anybody is. I don't know who in America wants that job, because if you're Tubby Smith and you were as successful as he was and you get run out of there, that's not the kind of place you want to head to.
No kidding. The worst thing that Tubby did was win the national championship in his first year.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he was being forced out, and good for him for getting a job and leaving Kentucky holding the bag. Good for him.
Yeah. My problem with the whole scenario is I think too many people look at what did you do last year, and then everything's all about what did you did last year. I mean, as a Mike Bray detractor, you would say, well, wait a minute, this guy didn't make the tournament for 3 years in a row, and then he makes it this year when they shouldn't have made it. Does that qualify him for the Kentucky job?
Yeah, I would say that, I think Mike Bray's the right guy for Notre Dame. He's done a great job, this last year being an excellent job. But I don't think he's got the pedigree that Kentucky fanatics are going to look for. Personally, I don't think he's going to leave Notre Dame for the Kentucky job, because the Kentucky fanatics, Mike Bray hasn't done enough to get that job.
Right now, the Kentucky fanatics are probably thinking it's either Roy Williams or it's, Mike Krzyzewski.
Well, sure. No name is too big for that job.
No.
I mean, this is a place that hired Rick Pitino away. Anybody, any big name is a candidate for that Kentucky job, I would think. But in terms of guys that are maybe on their way up, rising stars, maybe a Tom Crean from Marquette, maybe that's
yeah, I would think Crean would actually be a good fit. And I think Crean's the kind of guy that would kind of welcome that challenge.
Yeah.
That would be a perfect fit. They're even talking about possibly going after Izzo, which, I mean, again,
Izzo, I can't see Izzo leaving Michigan State.
He wouldn't do himself any favors going there. I mean, he's got nothing to prove. Well, it can only go bad for him.
Right. Well, let's get back to the Irish, okay? This is the Notre Dame conversation, so let's get back to the future here. I mean, you know, assuming Mike Bray is on the bench next year, which I think he's going to be, I think good times are ahead. Yes, you lose Russell Carter and Colin Falls, but there's a bunch of talented guys coming back who are proven entities, and, you know, some freshmen coming in that at least two of whom I think can, from all accounts, are going to be able to contribute early. And that's Carlton Scott and Ty Nash. Both of those kids are expected to contribute early.
Yeah, not only that, but I would say as well as the core of the team being Jackson, Aaron Godey, and even Hillsland. Those three guys coming back next year along with Kurz.
Yeah, how can you leave out Rob Kurz? No, I think he's only going to get better.
Exactly. The next year we have a very solid core group of guys that have got a year of playing together underneath their belt. And in this day and age, that's a rarity in college basketball. I mean, a lot of the teams you're seeing performing well are guys that have been playing together for two and 3 years.
And you didn't even mention Kyle McElarney. I mean, you know, you went through a core group of guys who are very talented, and you didn't mention Kurz or McElarney. You know, so I feel really good about this team. And role guys like Ayers and, you know, yeah, Luke Zeller, whatever. A lot of people aren't real high on Luke Zeller. I can't say that I am necessarily. But there's a guy that's played, you know, minutes, gotten good minutes in his first 2 years, and you hope that he can continue to improve and bring something to the table.
Yeah,
but even if he doesn't, I mean, you know.
I mean, he may not be the star everyone thought he might be when he came here, but if you looked at what he did even towards the end of the season, I mean, his quality minutes went up at tournament time and as well as in the Big East. So the Big East tournament, I like what he does when he comes in. I mean, he's a seven-footer that can step out and bring whoever's guarding him out there. So there's a lot of pieces and components about this basketball team that you got to feel really good about going forward. It could be that Mike Bray is going to be faced with another difficult coaching job next year because now he's got to match the expectation that wasn't there this year. So
okay,
it's
yeah,
really
on the
interesting.
Right, that's right. On the downside is the expectation issue, and I got to believe that we are going to get a tougher Big East schedule than we had this past year. And when you look at what happened to Syracuse, I think the bar has definitely been raised on getting into the NCAA from the Big East. How does a program like Syracuse, with all the name recognition and pedigree of Jim Boeheim and national championships, how does Syracuse win 20 regular season games and 10 Big East games and not get in? Man, that's got to make you a little frightened if you're a program like Notre Dame that has been, you know, fighting to get into the upper echelon of the Big East. We've been left out at 9-7 twice, and then Syracuse gets left out at 10 wins. Does that mean that, you know, 11 wins is the standard for Notre Dame in the Big East? It might. So, although things look good for the future, I also think it's a more competitive landscape to get in the NCAA for the Big East.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough season next year, but I think, you know, we played some rough games this year and we did well. So, I mean, at least you got to feel good about going into it.
Sure. I think you look at what Georgetown's doing, you know, sitting there in the Final Four knocking off North Carolina. We gave Georgetown everything they can handle. That game was essentially a draw. I mean, we gave them everything they could handle. And
we
that
had a
means
three-point
we,
shot with 2 seconds left. It was off the front of the rim. That drops. We win the game.
I know. And this is Georgetown sitting there in the Final Four. We are able to compete at a very high level with this group and with Mike Bray as the coach. And so although we got a lot of guys coming back, I expect to be really good next year. It's just so competitive with a Big East of 16 teams. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very difficult. Okay, let's turn our attention to football now. We're about a week into spring training or spring football, and a couple storylines coming out of spring. Most recently, Notre Dame gets a verbal commitment from a kid named Rudolph, a tight end out of Cincinnati, who is expected to be one of the top tight ends in the country, probably going to be a 4- or 5-star recruit, and he verbaled to the Irish recently. So that's a good sign. Recruiting continues to go really well. On the field at spring practice, of course, all eyes going into the spring are on the quarterback derby. And early on, way too early to tell. But who is your prediction, Mike, about who's going to come out of that four-man race for the starting quarterback job?
Well, I can tell you who I think the smart thing to do, and I think Weiss is going to do this, I don't think you put Clausen out there to start the season because you leave him open for too many arrows. It just isn't the right thing to do.
Even if he's the best quarterback?
I would argue, yeah, even if he is the best quarterback, and here's why. Because I don't know. I mean, look at it this way. Here's my argument. No matter what, if he is the best quarterback and he goes out there and he has a couple bad games or even one bad game to start the season, and then everybody starts coming down on him that you were anointed without really earning it, you're not the quarterback you thought, and it's going to put a tremendous amount of pressure on that kid from day one. Whereas you go into the season with more of a veteran player, somebody who's been there for 2 years, you give him that opportunity, and if it doesn't work out, then it's easy to bring Clausen in and say, all right, look, kid.
Well, yeah, that's a nice, clean scenario, but what if you start, say, Demetrius Jones, and he tears it up? Then what do you do with Clausen? Now, Clausen sit right in the pines for 4 years?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that, Demetrius Jones might tear it up a few of the games, and I don't think he's the quality quarterback that Clausen is.
Let's go back one more step, though. So you're saying, hey, Clausen's the best kid in practice, but you're going to throw out Jones out there, and that way it takes a little pressure off Clausen, because after Jones fails, then you bring in Clausen. Wait a minute. There's no pressure on Clausen then? And the team is sitting at 1-3, and then you bring in Clausen? There's no expectations? You got to play the best kid, period, end of quote. If Clausen's
sure
the best player.
If he's clearly heads and tails above the best, and I'm not saying that's not possible. And what a lot of people don't realize is Clausen's 20 years old right now today.
Well, they held him back a year. I know that.
This is not a young 18-year-old freshman kid stepping in. He is as old or even older than
I don't think he's 20. Is he 20?
Yeah, he's 20 years old.
I thought he was maybe 19.
No,
but
he is 20 years old. So anyway, you're looking at a kid that is, or he just turned 20.
I think you're making this up.
No.
All right, we're going to check this and we'll confirm
check
that.
Check it. But in any event, the point being is that clearly he could win this job. It's not to say that he's not capable, but I think if he is to win it, it can't be even Steven. He has got to clearly be heads and tails above the rest. Otherwise,
interesting perspective.
It's in your best interest to just ease him along.
Well, and that may be what happened. I personally think, interesting, the day before spring practice started, the Chicago Sun-Times runs a report that Clausen is injured and is not going to be able to participate in spring football. And, there were quotes from his father. I think Armando Allen, the freshman running back, also was quoted. And then a day or two later, the Chicago Tribune runs an article quoting Charlie Weiss that says, everybody's healthy and is going to be participating in spring football, and that Charlie is the voice, the spokesman for the team, period, end of quote. So I thought that was very interesting. There's something brewing underneath the surface there. And there's been reports that Clausen has, bone spurs in his elbow, or he's got a strained shoulder, that he's not 100% healthy. So interesting what will play out.
There's got to be some truth to that. I mean, I think he was hurt to a certain extent, but, I mean, as of right this minute, none of the quarterbacks have thrown a pass more than 8 yards. So
yeah, I think coming out of spring, what we're going to see is, as Weiss indicated, there'll be two guys, that will be in the mix for the starting job that will be won in August. He's not going to name a starter coming out of spring. That much we know.
Yeah, he's going to get it down to two. And my guess it's going to be Clausen and somebody else.
It's going to be Jones, Demetrius Jones, I'm telling you. I think there's something about that kid. His name comes up a lot. The intangibles that he brings to the table comes up a lot. His athleticism, and I think Weiss is total
Sharpley's playing baseball as it is anyway. So,
right.
I mean, you got a kid that's not even 100% committed to, and I'm sure that weighs in on Charlie Weiss. So it seems to make sense it's going to be those two.
Okay, a couple other moves in spring. Muneer Prince has been flipped over to defense from running back to corner. And Chris Stewart has been switched over from the offensive line to the defensive line to get a shot at nose tackle in Corlin Brown's new 3-4 defense. What do you think about those moves? Any thoughts?
I was definitely surprised by the Muneer Prince move, only because from listening to the coaches last year, they had a lot of praise for this kid coming out of the backfield with the amount of speed he had. I mean, every time they were saying, look, if we can get him into the open, he's going to show his stuff.
Yeah, every time they tried, he dropped it.
Right. Problem is, he never got out in the open because he couldn't even catch a swing pass.
Yeah.
And now maybe they just pulled him aside and said, hey, look, your chances for playing this year is going to be on the defensive side.
Well, Weiss said that that Prince asked for that opportunity. He was an all-stater as a junior at cornerback, and that Prince saw that as his quickest way onto the field, which tells me that perhaps Armando Allen and James Aldridge, you know, two young running backs in the program, are really showing something that makes Prince expendable. In conjunction with that, Gary Gray, heralded freshman recruit at corner, broke a bone in his arm and is out 4 to 6 weeks. So throwing Prince over there makes some sense for a variety of reasons. You know who's a name that is not, you're not hearing a lot about right now as a guy really pushing or impressing people is Darren Walls. Really, you know, a top corner in the country when he came in and played some last year and looked bad when he was in there. And you wonder about where his head is at and if he's going to be able to break into the depth chart. This was a highly recruited prospect.
I think the hope is that here's a kid that went out there, and unlike high school, where you can walk onto the field and compete with anybody across from you, it's a little different, faster game when you get to college. And I think it could have been that. He just underestimated the speed of the game and his ability and his own self, and hence he got beat several times. Now, certainly the kid's a competitor, so, I mean, he's going to figure it out, and you just got to hope that, all right, he's got the skills because he's got the speed, he's got the size. It's just a matter of him getting comfortable to this game. And asking a kid as a freshman to come in and play cornerback, that's got to be one of the more difficult positions.
I would agree, but I'm saying now he had got his feet wet, and now here we are in spring, and his name is not coming up as a guy that's really pushing for playing time, and other people are. So,
it's early.
It is early in his career, and certainly a guy like Terrell Lambert, who didn't do much until midway through last year and then became a real positive contributor. That's a good example for Darren Walls. He's got a lot of time in his career, no question about it. And then, of course, Travis Thomas is making the switch back to offense and will be a full-time running back. And, again, that's another reason I think why you see Prince being flipped over to defense. So those are some of the storylines coming out of spring. And I'm sure it's early. You know, we've got until April 21st to the Blue Gold game. So,
was Allen one of the kids that came early?
Yeah, he was an early enrollee.
Well, then there's another reason Manier Prince is on the other side.
Sure. Yeah. But that just says a lot that Armando Allen, you know, may be the real deal here if you can move a kid like Manier Prince over to defense so early in the spring. So.
Exactly.
Okay, it should be interesting. We will be back to update spring training and progress on what's happening on the depth chart, recruiting, et cetera. You've been listening to Dome and Domer. If you have any comments or suggestions for topics, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. And we'll be back, like I said, within probably a week or so to continue to update spring football at Notre Dame. I'm Mike Sullivan, and for Mike Brammer, remember, I'm Dome, and he's Domer.